So where should financially besieged Detroit look? Could maybe look to New York City's dance with bankruptcy and see a happy ending there. Not so happy is the story out of Cleveland a few decades ago, a shadow of its former self today, and that's a place Detroit might be heading to no matter what. Today we're going to take a look at Philadelphia. Does Philadelphia offer any lessons for Detroit? Philadelphia found itself on the brink of insolvency in the early 1990s until Mayor Ed Rendell and some others stepped in. Dave Davies is a senior reporter for public radio station WHYY in Philadelphia. He's covered Philadelphia politics for around 30 years. Dave, welcome to the show.
Good to be with you.
So Philadelphia is the classic old history, old money city, which is both, I gather, part of Philadelphia's original problem and became part of its solution.
Well, yeah, I think the crisis that Philadelphia faced was like a lot of northeastern cities. You know, it had a manufacturing base that had largely left for the South and overseas, and the middle class left in droves for the suburbs. And the people left behind were poorer and required more government, more social services, more prison prosecutors and cops, which was expensive. And because, you know, you had a government run by a traditional political democratic machine and a heavily unionized workforce, it was hard to control costs. So by the early 90s, it was a nightmare. I mean, the city was stiffing vendors. They weren't, you know, trash trucks were breaking down because they wouldn't buy tires and oil filters. It was a mess. And the traditional power structure was in sad shape.
Is this sociology that brought this on in economics, or is it old Mayor Rizzo, the Darth Vader of mayoral politics back in the 1980s?
Now, Rizzo didn't help. He gave some concessions to city unions that created a financially difficult legacy. But, you know, it's really kind of pretty typical of what Charlie described and what you've seen in a lot of cities, where you don't fix things until there was a crisis. And by 1991 in Philadelphia, there was a terrible crisis.
You know, I'm interested in the unique status politically of the state of Pennsylvania. You've really had two big cities in Pennsylvania go through this, Pittsburgh on one end of the state, Philadelphia on the other end of the state. And traditionally, and we hear about this every 4 years during an electoral campaign, there's a real political divide between East and West in Pennsylvania. How does that help or hinder a city trying to get the kind of political consensus to deal with what it needs from the state and the feds eventually?
Well, I think what it meant was the political reality was Philadelphia was not going to be rescued by the taxpayers of Pennsylvania. And even back in the 90s, the feds weren't there in big ways, although with Clinton, they were somewhat helpful. And clearly today, that's just not an option for anybody. So I think Philadelphia was going to be pretty much on its own and trying to get itself out of its mess.
And when you remember those days, what changed on the streets of Philadelphia? Did the trains not run on time? Did the trains simply go away? Were there the kind of gap-toothed neighborhoods like we see in Cleveland today and definitely are seeing in Detroit?
There was a long-term deterioration in a lot of communities. There was more crime, but there was also just a sense that the city was beginning to not function. I mean, as I said, people would miss trash collections because they weren't maintaining the trucks, and then crews would come in on overtime on Saturday. There was, libraries were just closing at random hours because they weren't filling jobs. There was a sense of despair. That changed when Ed Rendell was elected and things and kind of a transformation occurred.
Is Ed Rendell a Mayor Koch-style leader, where he was a real cheerleader with the powers working behind the scenes, or did he really mobilize things single-handedly?
He was a great cheerleader, and he did a lot to try and bring middle-class folks back to the city. But he also brought in the most capable and politically savvy team I've ever seen in government, and they took the issues on. I mean, they got huge concessions from the unions. The unions still spit when Ed Rendell's name is mentioned around here. But, you know, there were some excesses in the deal they had, and some of those were squeezed out. They did have to take a 2-year wage freeze. But the Rendell team also, they found ways to make the government more efficient. They reduced patronage employment. They went after revenue that was gettable. And it really made a big difference. I mean, the other big factor here, John, was luck, because starting in 92, the national economy picked up and it roared throughout the 90s. And by 1995, the city had such surpluses, it actually started reducing its wage and business taxes.
Of course, there are places in North Philly where you could ask, hey, what did it feel like to come out of the dark times? And they'd go, what are you talking about? We're still in them.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, it's still a city with enormous poverty. Roughly one out of its five residents live in poverty. But it's the government hasn't crashed and collapsed. And there was a resurgence of downtown. Center City, Philadelphia has 92,000 residents. And a lot of that happened because of some smart decisions that were made to deliver tax abatements for new construction and bring the middle class back. And, you know, it has not transformed the city's poorest communities. But I think it's kept the city from going into the abyss.
But for Center City, there's been some great infrastructure. Mass transit has really helped there. What do you think Philadelphians on the street would say to the people of Detroit? Good luck. Or glad we're not you?
Probably. I think they're probably so absorbed in their own lives they don't know much. I do think Detroit has a tougher road to hoe because I think it's fallen farther than Philadelphia and because the national economy is just so tough. Cities depend on economically driven tax revenues, and they aren't going to be there.
From the great public radio station in Philadelphia, WHYY, Dave Davies is a senior reporter. Thanks so much, Dave.
You're welcome.
From vulnerable cities to vulnerable lives, all this hour we're hearing some stories from you about feeling vulnerable. How close have you ever come to death? Gretel Schwartzot from Eastchester, New York. Dad's fighter pilot buddy invited us on a sailing excursion. Let's just say this guy almost sank us multiple times. He blew up a life raft in the cabin. There was no fuel for cooking. We had to use vodka instead. Our single anchor was ripped out of the seafloor by a storm. The boat spun out of control, missed hitting two other boats nearby, and he managed to knock himself out twice. I'm happy to be alive. We're happy too, Gretel. Tell us your near-death experience at 877-8-MY-TAKE. And we'd love to hear your story of vulnerability. Coming up, the Supreme Court may be revisiting the issue of campaign finance reform. Is money speech, or will there be limits on campaign financing? That's in a moment on The Takeaway.